Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. We are currently looking in the Bible at who Jesus Christ says he is. Join Pastor Nate in this brand new series, I Am.
We are beginning a brand new series. Did I say where to open your Bible? John 6. I think I said if you have a Bible, you can open them, and then got distracted. John chapter 6. Well, we're beginning a brand new series tonight called I Am. Somebody say I Am. And we will be looking at the seven I am statements that Jesus made in the Gospel of John. These seven statements that Jesus makes, they give us insight into who God is and who God desires for us to be. Jesus making these statements gives us insight in who he is as God and who God wants us to be. Now, before we look at what Jesus said in the New Testament, we should see it said in the Old Testament, because this statement, I am, Jesus wasn't the first one to say it. Jesus was actually reciting God in the Old Testament as he says, I am. Now, obviously, a lot of people have said the phrase, I am, right? Like, I am hungry is a common one. I am tired. That's another common one. You might halfway through the Bible study say, I am bored is another one. There's plenty of I am statements that you can make, but the way that God says it in the Bible and the way that Jesus says it in the New Testament is different than when we say I'm hungry or I'm whatever. Do you notice all those were complaints? How about I am happy? That's a good one. I am feeling it. There's another one. Anyways, Exodus chapter 3, I'll read it to you. God reveals himself to a man named Moses through a burning bush. This was an incredible scene in the Old Testament. There Moses was as a shepherd. He was leading his sheep. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of his eye, he sees a bush on fire, but it's not being consumed by the fire. And the text is funny. It's like, he's like, I'm going to look at this. And so he turns aside and like stops and looks at the bush. And then in there, God speaks out of the burning bush to Moses. And he basically tells Moses that God has chosen him to be a deliverer for the enslaved nation of Israel. That God has chosen Moses to go into Egypt where the nation of Israel was enslaved and to lead them out of their bondage. And then Moses, he asks the burning bush and he says, who is it that sends me to go and do this thing? And this is what God says. Exodus 3, Moses said to God, suppose I go to Israel, the Israelites, and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell him? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. He says, I am who I am. Sort of an interesting phrase, right? Doesn't really answer the question. Who am I supposed to say sent me? Just say I am. You are what? No, that's the whole sentence. I am sent me. That doesn't even make any sense. But what God is saying, it's intentional and it's powerful when he says I am who I am. It shows that God has no equal. He says I am who I am. The only thing comparable to God is God. He says I am who I am. There's nothing like me. There's no one like me. There's never been anyone like me. I am who I am. It shows that he's eternal. He says he is. I am. There's no beginning. There's no end. It also shows that he is the becoming one. He's always becoming. He is to us what we need. He is to us what we need. Pastor David Gusick said this, God becomes whatever is lacking in our time of need. The name I am invites us to fill in the blank to meet our need. When we are in darkness, Jesus says, I am the light. When we are hungry, he says, I am the bread of life. When we are defenseless, he says, I am the good shepherd. God is the becoming one, becoming what we need. God is who he is, and he is for us what we need. Now, in the New Testament, Jesus gives us some of these specific characteristics that God is for us and how we can make him these things for us. These things are true of God. What Jesus says when he says, I am blank, and we're going to look at these seven statements. When he says this, this is absolutely true of who God is. But that isn't always the case for us in our lives. When Jesus says that he is the light of the world, or he is the bread of life, or he is the good shepherd, when he makes these statements, they are true of who he is, but it isn't always true of who he is to us. And so we're going to learn who God is, but we're also going to learn how we make these things true for us. We'll begin in John chapter 6, verse 35. I'm going to begin with one verse, and then we're going to kind of jump around a little bit. Here's the first I am statement that Jesus makes. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." So the first topic, the first I am statement, you can write it down, is I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Now, a little bit of context as we sort of jumped into the middle of a chapter, Jesus talking, and he says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." In the beginning of this chapter, John chapter 6, Jesus fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Pretty crazy scene. Like, these people that are there, they've come to listen to Jesus preach, and after a while, they get hungry while he's preaching, and they're like, "I think we should feed them." And they're like, "Well, do you have any food?" And they're like, "Not really." And one kid brings his lunchbox, and he's like, "I got a couple fish and 5 loaves of bread." And Jesus is like, "Perfect." And like, "Perfect? What do you mean perfect? That's not even a whole meal. That's a kid's lunch. Actually, we need like at least 6 for an adult." You know what I'm saying? Anyways, he's like, "How is this going to work?" And so he takes it, and Jesus, beginning to multiply it, he feeds the 5,000. Now, this after he did that, we're told that Jesus sort of disappears. It gets dark. They watch, the group watches his apostles get on a boat and cross to the other side of this lake that they were on. But they didn't see Jesus get in the boat. And then the next day, they couldn't find Jesus. And we're told that he sort of walks across the water. Another miracle. He walks across the water, gets to the other side. And these people, not really sure where Jesus is, they go around the lake trying to find Jesus. The group of people, they follow him to the other side looking for more miracles and more meals. That's why they were looking for him. They wanted to see Jesus perform, and they wanted to get fed again. And Jesus sort of calls them on it. Look at verse 26 in the same chapter. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Like, you just want another free meal. That's what he says. You got a friend like that that's just around because he wants another free meal? Jesus is like, "I know the feeling." And he says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent." Therefore, they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." So they're looking for bread. They're looking for physical bread. And the reason that he tells them that he is the bread of life is because they were looking for bread. They're looking for physical bread, and Jesus offers spiritual bread. And the first I am statement that Jesus makes, remember, I am who I am. That's what God had thundered out of the burning bush. This is a statement, God saying he's the great I am. This is a powerful, when God says I am, it's a powerful statement. And then Jesus, his first I am statement, he says, "I am the bread of life." Why bread? It's kind of goofy, isn't it? Like, you would imagine, like, God, he's speaking, and he says, "I am," and like, what's in that? The bread of life. Like, huh? At least if I were listening, I'd be like, that's not very interesting. Like, that's not very exciting. That's not very powerful. That's not very meaningful. That the bread of life. But there's good reason, I believe, that he calls himself the bread of life. I want to show you a couple reasons why Jesus says that he is the bread of life. Number one, it's necessary daily. Bread is necessary daily. Now, some of y'all are on like a no-carb diet. Let me say it like this. Food is necessary daily. Amen? Amen? Whether you're eating a vegetable or whether you're eating a hamburger, food is necessary daily, and bread, when Jesus says he's the bread of life, bread symbolizes the basic necessity of life, eating every single day. The people that got fed from Jesus the day before are back again looking for more food. And the reason was because yesterday's meal doesn't fill today's hunger, right? Yesterday's meal, you ate yesterday. Why do you need to eat again today? My dad used to say that to me. I fed you this morning. Like, you really need to eat another meal? I'm like, yeah, like, I would love to eat again. It was whenever my mom was out of the house. My mom would be like, here's a third and fourth and fifth meal. My dad's like, how many times you got to eat today, kid? Like, you already ate today. Jesus, these people are coming looking for another meal because yesterday's meal didn't provide for today's hunger. So they were looking for more food today. Listen, the same is true for spiritual needs. We need Jesus daily. Jesus is the bread of life because he knows that we need him daily. Relationship with him isn't something we just need when we're in trouble or during hard times or just here and there. We need Jesus every day. And so he says, I'm the bread of life. So we understand how necessary he is daily. When he brings food into the equation, all of a sudden that becomes important. Like, I don't know about you, but I plan entire trips and vacations about what coffee I'm going to drink and about what food I'm going to eat. Like, if a good vacation is I had good food, a bad vacation is I didn't have good food. Like, that's what it's all about. And so Jesus, he says, I'm the bread of life. And all of a sudden he gets our attention. Oh, you're talking about food? Okay, I can get on board with that because he wants us to understand how necessary daily relationship with him is. And just like we eat every day, we need to spend time with Jesus every day. Job said in the book of Job, Job chapter 23, he says, I have not departed from the commands of his lips. Listen, I have treasured the words of his mouth, speaking of God, more than my daily bread. He says, I have treasured God's word more than my daily bread. If he treasures God's word more than daily bread, don't you think he's having it at least daily? He's spending time with God daily if he treasures it more than daily bread. We need to make sure that we're valuing time with Jesus like we value food. Ooh, that's pretty serious. Well, we value food. We will make sure we eat. We'll make sure it happens. And the same is true. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. So we understand the importance and the necessity of relationship with him is. Listen, we need to set aside time to pray. You need to set aside time to read God's word. And you need to set a time to walk with him daily. I gave you three things you can do every day. Let's call them our three course meal or three meals a day. Spending time with Jesus. We need to pray. We need to read his word. And we need to walk with him. Walking with him is looking for opportunities to live for him. We need to pray, we need to read his word, and we need to walk with him. And Jesus says he's the bread of life because he knows it is needed daily. Secondly, he's the bread of life because it satisfies. Everyone knows that bread is filling, right? It fills you up. That's part of why we eat bread, is because it's cheap and it fills you up. It's a cheap meal. And you don't need to eat a ton of bread to get full. You eat lots of bread so you get full easier and quicker. It satisfies. And this is the main point as to why Jesus calls himself the bread of life. Jesus is saying that he is and has what we need. Listen again what he said in verse 27. He says, don't labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. He said again in our verse 35, he says, I'm the bread of life. Who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus gives us everything that we need. Listen, our world, if you've lived in it for any length of time, you would know that our world wants to be satisfied, but they're filling themselves with food that doesn't satisfy. It may seem good for a moment, but it doesn't last. I just got back from California this week, and while we were out there, Vero doesn't have this, but they're called vegan restaurants. You heard of a vegan? My wife's a vegan. If you don't know what a vegan is, it means that they don't eat anything that is alive. Which, like salad was once alive, wasn't it? Like if tree leaves were, anyways, anything from a living animal they don't eat. So we go to all these vegan restaurants. There's like so many of them, you can't even count. Anyways, and they make you feel bad when you walk in because like on the wall it says like, literally, veganism is magic. It says that. It says, no joke, by the bathroom, it says dairy is evil. Milk, like are you, chocolate milk? Are you serious? Is evil? Anyways, so we go into this vegan restaurant. And on the picture, like there's this steak, vegan restaurant. There is a steak sandwich with fries. I'm like, whoo, steak sandwich for fries. Like that's got my name all over it. So I order it, get it, and I eat it. And I'm like, first off, how dare you call this steak? This is not steak. This is more vegetables. This is not steak. And then if I'm being honest, it was pretty good. It tasted pretty good. It wasn't a steak sandwich, let me tell you that, but it tasted pretty good. But I am telling you, no lie, that about 45 minutes later or an hour later, I was hungry again. I'm telling you, I ate this vegan sandwich and it tasted pretty good, but less than an hour later, I was like, I could go for a burger right about now. Like In-N-Out sounds really good. Like where's the burger? Why am I saying it looks good? It looks good. The picture looked good, tasted pretty good, but it didn't last. Listen, our world is trying to fill itself with things that don't last. It seems good, but it doesn't satisfy. Listen, because you can never have enough money. You will never get enough followers on Instagram. You will never have the perfect job. It will never happen. You will never be satisfied. And so constantly you will fill your life searching for things that may look good for a moment, that seem good for a season. But at the end of the day, it will leave you still hungry. And Jesus says, if you come to me, I will give you everything that you need, that you will be full for not just life, but for eternity. You will have purpose here and now. You will be going to a place that God wants you to be. You will find total contentment and satisfaction in relationship with Jesus. He says, you've been striving for food that perishes. I want to give you the bread of life, the bread that fills your life forever. But people are laboring for food that doesn't satisfy. And Jesus says, listen, come to me. I am the bread of life. Listen, if you've ever felt empty or meaningless or worthless or unsatisfied, relationship with Jesus will give you everything that you need. He says, I'm the bread of life. It satisfies. Finally, thirdly, it's accessible. It's accessible. Bread is easy to get. If I asked you every after service, like, hey, real quick, go find me some bread. Like in 5 minutes, you'd be able to find a piece of bread around the church. And pretty much like anywhere you go, like if you're at your friend's house, like, hey, do you have bread? Like everybody has bread. Bread has been a basic necessity in pretty much all cultures and societies for centuries. Bread has been a basic necessity. People have always had bread. It's easy to get. Jesus just fed 5,000 people with the bread he got from a kid. Right? He's like, hey, anybody got bread? And some 5-year-old's like, yeah, I got bread. Yo, you need bread? I got bread. Like, you're 5. How do you have bread? Like, I got bread. It's easy to get. It isn't a food of royalty. It isn't food for the elite. Bread is easy to get. It's everywhere. Everybody's got bread. And listen, Jesus is the bread of life because he's accessible. Jesus can be found at any place, at any time, by anyone. In order to receive Jesus and all that he wants to give you, you don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to change where you are. You don't have to become something different. All you have to do is ask, and Jesus will show up where you are. Romans chapter 10 says this. It's such an amazing verse. It says, but what does it say? The word is near to you. It is in your mouth and it's in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
You've been listening to Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. Before we go, here's Nate with his wife Hannah on how we can apply this to our lives.
I am so excited about this series, this I Am series of Jesus. I'm so excited to look into all these things and to just kick it off with Jesus being the bread of life is an awesome way to start it. And in the beginning of your message, Jesus says, I am the bread of life, to the group of people coming looking for bread, you know, after his miracles. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, his whole point with them was they were there for the wrong reasons. Mm. And for us today as Christians, wanting the bread of life in Jesus, how do we shift our focus from the material to the spiritual?
It's a great question, because I think a lot of people have a misunderstanding of who Jesus is. And if they don't understand who Jesus is, they don't understand what he provides. Mm. And a lot of people think that Jesus is simply there to help you meet physical needs. As if, you know, you don't have enough money to pay rent, Jesus is there to show up and give you, you know, more money on your paycheck, or mm-hmm. or all these things that are really just misunderstanding of who Jesus is. And these people, they show up, they just ate the food that Jesus provided. He performed the miracle, fed the 5,000, and now they're back for meal round two. They want more food from Jesus. And he looks at them and he says, you're not here because you saw the signs, but because you ate the food and were filled. And they're back for another meal. And I think it's so easy for us as well to sort of look at Jesus as simply he's gonna meet our physical needs. And what Jesus wants to teach us is that him being the bread of life is he's gonna meet our spiritual needs. Mm-hmm. He's gonna meet us with what we actually need. You know, it's such an interesting thing. The Bible talks so much about our body being a tent, where we're going to at one point take off this tent. The thing about camping is there's the hope that you're going to go home. You don't have to stay in the tent forever. And the Bible talks about our body being a tent where we're going to take this tent off and we're going to go into eternity. And I was actually thinking about this morning, about how profound and really amazing our tent is. You know, our body has the ability to heal itself. You break a bone and you put it in a splint and the bone's going to heal, or you get a cut, and all these things, that the immune system that can fight off, you know, different sicknesses and viruses, and the brain that can store so much information. And God made the body so complex, and yet his focus is on the soul. Eventually we're going to leave this body's going to fall apart. We're going to leave it behind, and our soul's going to live on forever. And although our body, it is an important part of us, it's who we are right now, as we can see it, we can feel it, it's not the primary focus. God is focused on the eternal things, the spiritual things. And Jesus is the bread of life. He satisfies our spiritual needs, our spiritual hunger. He satisfies salvation for us, where we can know God and we can enter into relationship with God. Things that, because maybe we can't see them so clearly right now, they're not the focus for us. But for God, who's outside of time, who's in eternity looking down, he says, I want you to be focused on the spiritual needs, the eternal needs. The physical, they're going to come and go, but the spiritual, that's eternal.
Now, when I hear that, that gets me excited. Yeah. And that makes me think, like, man, the Lord is so focused on my soul. I should be so focused on my soul. And that gets me excited. But then I get a little discouraged when I think that I am in this tent and I'm in a world where I do need to pay the mortgage and have food to eat. And so how do those listening who are maybe thinking the same things, like, that's well and good, but, you know, I got to pay rent this month. How do we balance that focus of the soul with just everyday needs?
Well, I think we go back to the beginning of the chapter, and the whole story begins. Jesus is preaching and he looks around. The apostles look around and they're saying, it's getting late. These people need to eat. Mm. And then Jesus says, well, do you have something to feed them with? And they're like, no. And then he takes the kids' lunch and he multiplies it and he feeds them. And Jesus is concerned with their physical needs. If he wasn't, he wouldn't have fed them. He was like, I'm too busy preaching about the eternal to stop and let them eat.
Wow.
And Jesus, he's clearly concerned with the physical needs. And that was the first thing. that was the first thing that he did. It got their attention. It showed that he cared about them. And I think for us, we need to understand that Jesus absolutely wants to meet our physical needs. Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 in Matthew 6, that we don't need to worry about our food and clothing and things like that, because our Heavenly Father wants to provide those things for us. And so we need to understand that Jesus wants to take care of our physical needs. But I think the bigger thing that we need to understand is that the physical is temporary, the spiritual is eternal. And so God is way more concerned with things that are going to last forever, not so much concerned about the things that are temporary. And so the same is true for us. Yeah, God wants to provide your needs. He wants to help you with whatever you're going through. Maybe it's sickness, maybe it's lack of sufficiency of you know, paying for things or whatever it is. God wants to supply those things, but bigger than that, He's concerned with the eternal things.
This has been Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. Thank you for tuning in. We pray that this message has been a blessing to you. And if you would like to hear more of Pastor Nate's teaching, visit us online at middlegroundradio.com.